Hey, coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, we're live at the Opryland Hotel and Resort in Nashville. Why? Because the National Religious Broadcasters Convention is going on there, and there's a whole lot of engineers there. Wow, who would have thought? We're going to be in the booth of Broadcaster General Store, and we'll see you on This Week in Radio Tech. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by the new Ruby console from Lavo with AutoMix Smart Mixing. See Lavo in your future at lavo.com/twerked. And by Direct Current Broadcast e-newsletter. Get Direct Current in your inbox every Thursday with technical pointers putting you and your facility at an advantage. Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host. Delighted to be here, and obviously I'm not in the usual place today. And I don't have the usual co-host here either. Actually, our usual co-host is here. We'll bring him in just a minute. We're at in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel at the convention of the National Religious Broadcasters Association. And at this convention, of course, there are people in the big expo hall here with all kinds of booths and displays, but there are equipment dealers here as well. And I'm delighted to be in the booth of Broadcasters General Store. They were kind enough to say, hey, yeah, come on over, and you can do your show from right here in our booth. We'll talk to a few manufacturers about some of the latest innovations, and we have some engineers, and, hey, we might even have a broadcaster from Australia coming in here in just a little bit. So you hang on. Oh, and we've got several engineers, in fact, standing by to be on the show. So it's going to be a good show from the NRB. Is this called Proclaim 18? Is that what
yes.
it's called? Okay, so they
yes.
give it a name. It's called Proclaim 18. Traffic was really good around here on Monday, wasn't
it? Yes, it was very good. It's pretty good today, too.
This is my buddy Buck Waters from Broadcaster General Store. Hi, Buck. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So if people call the General Store and they hear a male voice, there's about a 1 in 4 chance it'll be you.
1 in 4.
1 in 4.
Okay. 1 in 4, because yeah. I've gone a lot.
Okay. We'll talk. Buck was kind enough to let us use his booth and his Wi-Fi and his electricity and a desk space and everything else. So we're going to be doing the show from here, and it's going to be a fun, fun show. And also, Chris Tobin is here. Chris, welcome in, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. He looks like you're having a good time. You know, if you're hanging out with Buck from Broadcast General Store, then you know there's a good time to be had.
You know, the nice thing about Buck is he's the guy. He buys show tickets. He buys meals, steak dinners, and everything. It's just it's a good time.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Hot dogs.
Drop your Burger King.
That's right. All right. Well, Tim Kochus will be with us. Tony Peterly may be with us as well. Bill Kondo is here. He writes amazing software to help you do contesting at your radio stations. Let's see. Matt is here. Hey, come on in. Hey, Matt. Matt's going to say hi to us in just a minute right after the break. Right. Matt's going to tell us a little bit about what Burke is up to lately. You got some new stuff for NAB. Yeah. Oh, I didn't turn your mic up. I should do that. There
thank
we go.
You.
There we go.
Anyway, thank you for having me. And, yeah, we've got some great new stuff for NAB.
So, Chris Tobin, hang on to your britches. We're going to be back in just a minute from the National Religious Broadcast Association convention and talking to a bunch of engineers. We'll be right back after this message from Lavo.
There has probably never been a better time in history to buy a new radio mixing console. Today's consoles are more sophisticated than ever, with more features and functions than you can shake a stick at. But have you noticed how complicated they are? There's a sea of knobs and switches and displays and buttons. Some of them look like you might need a pilot's license to do your show. Well, a board doesn't have to be complicated to be powerful. Just look at the new Ruby mixing surface from Lavo. The first thing you notice is how smooth and streamlined it is. Ruby has lots of cool tech, but what it doesn't have is that confusing ocean of buttons that clutter things up. Now, we all know that there are some console features the jock only uses once in a while. So why dedicate controls to them? Ruby fixes this problem by moving those once-in-a-blue-moon controls to a touch-sensitive, customizable GUI that happily shares screen space with your other studio software, helping you fight control room clutter. Thanks to this design innovation, talent that use Ruby produce smoother shows with less errors. Controls that are used the most fall naturally to hand, while functions that rarely need adjustment are easily controlled with just a couple of clicks in the context-sensitive GUI. And Ruby has cool features you won't find on other boards, like AutoMix, an intelligent gain writing function that guarantees the perfect mix for multi-mic morning shows and call-in segments. Dual-mode snapshots that instantly switch the motorized faders between on-air and production modes, and enough DSP and I/O options to make even your pro sound pals green with envy. And because quality is as important to Lavo as it is to you, every console is proudly built to fanatically precise standards at Lavo's own factory in Germany. If you're ready to declutter your control room, do yourself a favor. Check out the new Ruby and the other cool Lavo radio tech at www.lawo.com/twert.
And we're back. We're at the National Religious Broadcasters Association convention called Proclaim 18. It's in Nashville, Tennessee at the Opryland. Let me get the camera here. At the Opryland Hotel. All right, Buck Waters, thanks again for inviting us in. Now, you've got some manufacturers here in the booth.
Yes.
We're going to talk to a few of their reps. Who's here?
Well, Matt Leland from Burke. We have Tony Peterle from Globecast.
Worldcast,
yeah. We have Jacob from Tyline.
Okay.
And we have one of our newest recruits, Travis Tibbett from BGS.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you mean from your office?
Yes.
Is here. Travis is here. Well, good. We'll beat up on him, too.
Okay.
And then you've also got Telos Omnia Axia here, and I could stand in for that if I need to.
Well, no, we have Telos Omnia Axia. We have Broadcast Bionics.
Oh, yeah, that's
also.
Right. Yeah. That's going to be hot.
Yeah, it is hot.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We're going to put that in our station in Hawaii, our new station.
Yeah, there. I heard.
Yeah.
It's going to be very nice.
It's going to be nice. Well, tell you what, let's go ahead and talk to Matt Leland right now. Okay. Thanks a lot. Matt, come on in here.
Thank you, Kurt.
So, Matt, you're with Burke Technology, and, you know, people just love Burke. Let's go ahead and step over here just a little closer. You're with Burke Technology, and Burke is all about remote controlling things.
Right.
Yeah.
Monitoring and controlling.
Let me turn your mic up a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Monitoring everything at the transmitter site and controlling all the necessary items.
Now, I got to say, this has been like a Burke day for me because literally, 3 hours ago was the Nashville SBE meeting. And we had a guest presenter at the SBE meeting. It's somebody that everybody on this podcast knows is Chris Tarr.
Great.
Chris is with Entercom in Milwaukee, and he takes care of all their Wisconsin properties from an engineering point of view. Chris gave us in the SBE a lesson on simple network management protocol, SNMP. And to do that, he's using all Burke equipment to get that done.
That's great. We featured his site live at NAB last year, in fact.
Oh, so you could turn his transmitters on and off from
we had it in the observation mode, so we couldn't actually do that. Like people be safe.
Now, Chris said that he had his system so sophisticated he could actually turn on and off the transmitters of his competitors too.
Good job.
Just his. But he did point out that he can monitor all kinds of parameters from six different sites around Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's when we started, Mr. Burke started this business, it was monitoring a transmitter and controlling it. Today, we've got all sorts of things at the transmitter sites that we want to monitor and control and free up the engineer's time to do other things. So everything from your power coming in to your audio processor to transmitters and everything in between.
Now, one thing that Chris Tarr really pointed out was that, it used to be to make a transmitter go on or off or to get a reading of the plate flow, you would run a wire, right? You have a ground wire, then you run a wire for control of this, a wire for control of that, another wire to get a sample of the voltage or the power output.
Right.
But now, with many, not everything on the market, but many things, it's a network connection.
Right.
And a lot of devices, well, you've got a network connection going there anyway, whether it's an audio processor, a codec, maybe even STL, transmitter receivers, transmitters, certainly.
Right.
A lot of them have that now. And so you can do your control and get your data over that. But not only is that important and the key, but we're all doing this with a standardized protocol,
right?
SNMP.
Yeah, it makes it very user friendly. This saves a lot of time pulling low voltage wires and so forth. You plug your appliance into the network, and you can pick the OIDs that you want to select to monitor.
I learned that today. OID, that's object ID. Yeah,
object identifier.
Identifier. Yep.
Yeah. So you can select the ones you want and put it on the channels. Typical Burke fashion. It's the same type of input structure, so it's familiar and easy to set up.
And, now I got to mention that for years I had looked at SNMP and never really made the mental struggle, the mental jump into understanding it.
Yeah.
And a few months ago at the Wisconsin Broadcasters, One of our competitors over here, Tony Peterly, actually did a seminar on that. I think he's got an SBE seminar on that as well.
Yeah.
That kind of taught me, okay, now I think I understand what this is about. So I asked Chris Tarr today. I said, Chris, to do what you've done with the Burke remote controls, using it, you know, translating SNMP into you can do scripts, you can do if-then-else stuff.
Right.
I said, do you have to study up on SNMP before you install a Burke remote control? He said, not really.
Right.
The Burke stuff will you know, knows enough about a lot of pieces of equipment to where if you know nothing about SNMP, but you do know how to set an IP address,
right?
The Burke will pretty well, you know, read the manual. You can get to the point where I am just using the Burke stuff.
It's very, very easy. If most engineers are familiar with the Burke product, and it's just the same as setting up a hardwired interface. You just select the things you want to wire.
Now, speaking of the hardwired interface, I also learned today that let's say you have a couple pieces of legacy gear. You have a backup transmitter
right.
that doesn't talk SNMP, and you're going to hardwire it to your Burke, and then the Burke puts it's that information on the same SNMP interface.
Right.
You can use that telemetry and those controls right. the same in within the Burke world, the same way that you're controlling other stuff on SNMP.
Exactly.
That's
right.
That's amazing.
In many of our legacy systems, we actually have a box that you can unplug the cables from the old system, plug it into this adapter, and with Wizard, import that data, and you're off and running very quickly.
Well, wow. So what Burke has so many different products in their product line. If I wanted to put some Burke product at a transmitter site to do both SNMP and old-fashioned analog contact closures, what am I going to be looking at getting?
Okay. It would start with the Arc Plus, and we've got two forms of that. The Arc Plus Touch, which is a 2RU unit, has room in it for the RSI phone interface.
Yeah.
About 90% of our customers still get the phone interface for a backup path.
Ah.
The other unit is 1RU, the Arc Plus SL. It's got all the capability of the Arc Plus. That's an IP-only unit. And with that, you can select, you can get the SNMP Plus software and pick the I.O. that you want. It's scalable. You can get in blocks of typically 16 or 8 or 12 and build the system up to or it fits your needs.
Okay, so for your legacy gear, you get some external I.O. panels.
Right. Yeah?
And then for SNMP gear, I guess this the small one, the SL, you said you called that what? The
Arc Plus? Arc Plus SL.
Arc Plus XL. That hooks to a network switch?
It's an Arc Plus, and you put it on the network. And,
okay.
And you can run, I have customers who run everything with SNMP with no hardwired I.O.
Wow. Apparently. Wow, that's pretty cool. So then the Arc does. See, Chris showed us one more thing. You can build a dashboard page,
right,
to show you all the important stuff you want to look at,
right.
So what software does that for you?
Autopilot's our software. It's a graphical interface. You can build it, customize it, drop in meters or scales, and bring in action buttons, and that's a very powerful software because you can do it at a local level. If you're a major broadcaster, they can be a regional level, have a separate view, or knock level, have his own view. So either one can drill either way, up or down. So you can see your entire network if you want.
Now, would a person run that that autopilot software on each computer he wants, or does it make itself available as a web page to people that want to browse into it and see that?
Okay. Autopilot, you would download it to as many computers as you want. There's
okay.
no limitation that we put on that. The software is licensed to the Arc Plus.
Ah.
Each Arc Plus will support up to some 20 simultaneous connections.
Okay.
Via a smartphone, computer,
yeah.
phone, and you can look at it from multiple locations at the same time.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah, good for the local engineer, the regional, or the nationwide network operations center.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What's a typical application of Burke remote control gear that is not necessarily traditional transmitter sites? What, you know, who's, who would, not, you don't have to name names, but yeah. what kind of place would be a customer?
We've sold stuff to FEMA for environmental sure. monitoring stuff. I had a system purchased by a nuclear power station last year.
Ah, okay.
I don't know what they do with it exactly. They didn't tell me, and it took probably 2 years to get
the order.
To get the order because their security, network security thing was really rigid.
So, but the Burke passed their test, yeah.
Yeah. It was an interesting process.
Good deal. So if people want to see you at NAB, I guess you'll have a booth there?
We'll have a booth.
Okay.
Forgive me, I don't have the number memorized.
It'll probably be in the North Hall.
It will be.
Well, along with most other radio people.
That's
now,
right.
Now that we're back there.
If you can find Telos, you can find us. We're right next door, typically.
Matt, thank you so much for being with us, man.
Thank
you.
Hey,
we need it. Chris, is there anything about Burke that you want to ask or add?
Well, I can add that it's a real simple application. There it is on my phone. I can look at my transmitter site. A little
what?
Out, but there you go.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
Sure.
Yeah, I can actually check things. The one question I do have, I mean, I'm quite familiar with the product. I have it from the days of the, was it Microdynamics, the AC-8 back in the early days?
Yeah.
I just woke some people up with that one. The Arcturus. I just got an email regarding RF monitoring system.
Okay.
Does that require a RF section in the transmission line, or can I just replace my current RF samples with the wires and then calibrate it locally?
Okay. With Arcturus, we've developed RF sensors, which will screw onto any RF coupler, type N fitting. You can get an adapter if you need. And the Arcturus is designed for those multi-station protection applications where you've got many stations in one antenna or combining system.
Ah.
And it's very quick, it's on the order of 100 milliseconds, shut down everything in case of a fault. And it works in conjunction with the Arc Plus. The Arc Plus manages the overall system. The Arcturus is there for the real-time, very quick action.
Cool.
And protection.
Oh, cool. How do you connect the sensors? Oh, sorry.
The sensors will be brought in through one of our I/O units on a sensor input port.
Oh, okay. I was working with a friend on some stuff, and he was asking me about monitoring RF at the top of the tower. And I'm like, well, Burke just came out with something that makes sense, I think. So if I have a sensor, can I put it at the top of the tower where the antenna is, or is it strictly down by the transmitter sites?
Yeah, our sensors are our indoor sensors. Top of the tower and getting a reliable signal up and down the tower is not something we've addressed yet.
Okay, no, that's cool. I just, when it comes to RF monitoring and stuff, it's handy to know where you can do it. Okay, thanks.
Right. Hey, Chris, at the SBE meeting, we came up with one idea that would be great if Burke would implement. Because I asked Chris, hey, can you monitor stuff, besides transmitter sites? So, yeah, I monitor some stuff at the studio sites. I said, what about home? I'd love to have a monitor at home. And what I really want is I want to be able to go to my Burke autopilot and determine if the dishes in the dishwasher are dirty or clean. Because that's the question that comes up at our house every day.
I'm not sure I have a dirty or clean sensor, but if you were to put an I.O. unit at your home, you could map it back to the Arc Plus at your transmitter site.
Oh,
and
there you go.
You could monitor and control things at your home or at your studio, for that matter.
So we learned today that SNMP want to route across the public internet. That's not its purpose. But ARC, your Burke information will.
You want to be on the same network.
Yeah. Okay.
But
Chris said he had multiple sites tied together.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And looks like people monitor things at their studio as well as their transmitter sites these days, particularly via SNMP.
And since Chris is from Wisconsin, I said, you also need to monitor, make sure your keg is cold and the cheese curds are fresh.
That's right.
And the brats are done. Matt, thanks so much, man.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate
your time.
Okay. See, I'm going to scoot in where you are. I'll take that. And we have next Bill Kondo with us. Bill, how you doing, man?
Doing great.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
I'm going to turn this mic down here if I can figure out the right one. Let's see.
That one.
Must be that one. There we go. Microphone. Okay. It did not label the microphones. You're right, Chris. Yep. See, you should be here, man, to do what I don't. Let's see if we can get Bill Kondo up here. Let's see. Bill, okay, got you up?
Good. All right.
All right, good. So, Bill, we have talked before, and you're a software developer.
I am. I've been a web developer since, I think it's 96.
Let me turn I think I got something too loud here. Take care of that. All right.
Yeah, actually the first professional paid site I ever did was for a radio station.
So that's how you got hooked up with the radio
station? Yeah,
right?
I at some point, I think I wanted to be a DJ, but at the point it was a little harder in the 90s.
Okay.
Oh, and it probably paid a little bit more than it does today. I don't know.
It may have, yes.
Yeah. But radio's and audio in general is really my first love. Development has paid the bills. And here about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided that basically I'm just going to try to make radio station software. This, it's the places I like to be, and you know, rather than work for another Fortune 50 company building a website that's going to sell more widgets, I would rather see independent radio stations compete at a high level. I think that radio, you know, I have a station owner that I work with that I want to give him attribution for this quote. Radio was the original social network, right? It was, you called in, you had that two-way communication back and forth. And I think over the years, radio has sort of been a laggard in that way, right? So radio today, maybe you want to use Facebook, you try to use Twitter. And there was some software that's trying to aggregate that feedback back into your studio. But, you know, at some level, you're kind of a sharecropper by using their networks. You have no control. What if they turn you off tomorrow?
Right.
Right. You're building an audience and then you don't have access to that audience. You know, something like Facebook today, you have to pay massive money to access 50% of the audience that you built on their platform. Right. So more that we can build for radio stations that really own their audience. So first stuff that we're trying to do is like contests and loyalty surveys, feedback, build newsletter list, you know, all that old school technology, but you can reach 100% of people you put on your newsletter, right? They may not open it,
right?
But you have
right.
the opportunity to get it in front of them. And that's not the case with these other social networks.
So the software that you write for radio stations, what's the focus?
Oh my. I guess we've lost Kirk. It's back to me.
The on-air contest. Right. Oh, so you can give out keywords on the air.
Yeah.
They log on the website and redeem those and earn points.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then they can use that to enter contests for concert tickets or whatever you know, the rep has given you as they come by. Right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's leveraging something you already have and trying to maximize the value out of that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So you find out who's visiting. They can win prizes by listening. Oh, there's Dr. Carol Swain over there. Hey, Carol. Can't see her. So,
and that's part of it.
That's AMPed.
Yeah, AMPed loyalty. Our vision, you know, let the cat out of the bag, probably years early, but the overall offering is called AMPed Radio.
Okay.
And it will end up being a full suite of products. So we're looking at some sounding board software and some like paid membership clubs for a radio station. So, you know, $100, $150 a year, they get a t-shirt, they get maybe early access to concert tickets, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So again, it's, you know, monetizing the audience you already have. And looking at another revenue stream.
This sounds like a way that a smaller station that is competing against the big guys,
right.
Which
the big four or five,
they have a lot of these systems already in place.
Kind of. But, you know, and honestly, I have friends at some of those staples. They're not doing a very good job of it, right? So I think there's still a lot of room for improvement. And I think that's where maybe the expertise are coming in of doing big marketing sites for people in other industries coming into radio, because I think radio has an opportunity to make large strides very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, technically, I feel like radio is still behind right now.
So if people want to find out about your products, your software products, do you have any demo videos or demos online?
I'm a terrible marketer. we are, and I'm not prepared for this today, but we're in private beta for the loyalty software right now. So we are working with a few stations. You know, another 5 or 10 stations, if you're interested in something like that, I'd say email me today. Bill at hustleworks.com. Which is the name of the company.
I'll put that in the show notes. If you can't write it down right now, if you're driving or listening, just go to the show notes of the show.
So I think next 60, 90 days, we'll probably start to open it up to other people, but we want to make sure that everything's is right. So we've been operating in private beta for maybe 8-9 months right now. So I think it'll be time to open it up. Yeah.
This has been a long-term project. I've known you for a couple of years now.
I think so. I'm in Ohio. I think it was OAB, 2016, 2017? No, it's been maybe 15 or 16.
Yeah,
15 or 16.
A couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a long... So what happened was I had built a site for a radio station in Columbus in 2012, and I've held them on as a client. We've kind of been building some things. And again, independent radio, like the margin is low. I mean, you know, as a station, you said you own the part that doesn't make money, right? I think actually most of it doesn't make money. So you have to own like 5% of it. But no, I was working with them, and they really couldn't afford to build the things we wanted to build, right? So I have the luxury of having some paid clientele, so I can then basically turn this all into SaaS software so that they can afford it. And then I can turn around and we can use wisdom of the crowds, and we can build some other features that maybe some other stations need, and then we'll roll it back in the product.
So you have a pay-as-you-go model.
Yeah, it is SaaS software.
Okay.
And I don't have a public price point, but I can discuss that privately.
Sure.
And but you know, for the, we're trying to make the independent station competitive, so we're not going to price you out or anything. And we'll talk. We would charge less for a church or an LP than we will a full commercial station.
So, engineer friends, this is something that here you know about. You know now about Bill's Bill Kondo's software at Hustleworks. Might be a good thing to bring up, you know, find out about it and then bring it up to your general manager or program director and say, hey, we've been wanting to be able to offer some cool things to our listeners, to, you know, a loyalty program, you know, discounts and have, you know, better interaction with them.
So the next few, you kind of get to determine where the product goes. So we'll tailor it to your station. You know, so long as it's not a completely wacky idea, right? But you know, I'm gonna put myself on the spot. So I'm here doing recon for booth setups. I'm gonna try to put a booth setup together for radio show.
Yeah.
So we should be public by then, and so we'll have some demos available for, you know, later this year at radio show.
We'll look for you.
Yeah.
This year the radio show is
Florida. Orlando.
Okay. Well, then I'll be down.
Try to show up to the right city.
I'll be down there. I'll see you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thanks.
You very much. Take care. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris Tobin, at your station WBGO, I'm sure you've got systems to keep track of your listeners and provide some loyalty on their part. Yeah. Or is it just your great programming?
We well, that's what draws them in, and then we have a couple of software databases that do manage loyalty database, you know, mailing list, the whole bit, all the premiums we send out, things of that sort. Yep, we do have that. But I probably will email Bill anyway and just have him send me some info for our guys, because we're always looking at you know, new and better things.
All right, hey, we're I switched talent here. Thanks, Chris.
Of course.
We have Jordan Bitz here. Jordan is with Barefoot Media Ministries.
Yes.
Tell me about Jordan first, and welcome in. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Good. Here, let's get that up close.
All right.
And I'll see if I can get the levels here somewhat kind of right. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. So, Jordan, we're friends on Facebook.
Yes.
Tell me what you do outside of that.
So I am the chief engineer for Barefoot Media Ministries out of Boise, Idaho. We have a handful of full powers and translators. We're a Christian operator, Christian AC and Christian hip hop.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So you have like two network streams that go out to a bunch of transmitters?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have a local station in Twin Falls, Idaho. That's just four Twin Falls, 60 kilowatt, and everything else is networked to Oregon and Idaho.
Okay. So, and you do all their engineering?
Yes. I'm also on air.
Really?
So I do evenings, 5 hours, no, 4 hours now a night on the hip-hop station, plus all the engineering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, who are some hip-hop Christian hip-hop artists?
Lecrae, Andy Mineo, Trip Lee, Holland. She's a female artist.
And then in the Christian AC, who are some top artists there that you have?
Casting Crowns, for sure. Mercy Me, Matthew West, Toby Mac put a new one out that's pretty good.
I think about half those people live here in Nashville.
Yeah. Brian Stevenson. Yeah.
Wow. I was just looking through some old pictures this morning. You know, on Facebook, they called Throwback Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is you find an old picture from the past, you post on Facebook, and hey, remember this. Mm-hmm. I didn't post it today, but I had posted it before, a picture of me and Kirk, give me his last name.
Franklin?
Kirk Frank, short guy?
Yes.
Short African-American dude.
Kirk Franklin.
Yeah. I knew his first name was Kirk. Same as mine. So I thought, hey, dude, look at that. Anyway, yeah, I ran across this picture just today. Wow, is he still popular?
I don't think we have him in our rotation.
But I'm sure he's doing something.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
good deal.
He's putting stuff out.
So let's talk technical about your setup. So you send programming out to lots of transmitters and translators.
Total of 2 signals in the whole group.
Wow. Okay.
All on zip ones.
What?
Yeah.
I swear I didn't know. That's unsolicited. That's awesome.
So we have a ton of zip ones, a total of 20.
Huh.
And then we have a live wire link across the valley for our main STL.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're using an IP radio for that?
Yes.
What kind of radio did you choose?
Trango.
A Trango?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, we've done a lot of talk about IP radios for things like live wire or other AOIP technologies. And one of the keys is, I wrote a white paper about this, one of the keys is, don't let the radio be too smart. In other words, the radio needs to be just a dumb path, needs to emulate a piece of wire from here to there. If your IP radio is doing too much in terms of error correction or, hey, I missed that packet, resend it, please, you might run into trouble.
It doesn't sound that good.
Yeah, so how did you get the Trango IP radios configured.
Well, I give all credit to our wireless internet company. They're the ones who took the hardware, deployed it, set it up. I gave them the specs for Axia. They took the specs from the Axia website and built two VLANs based around that. One for telemetry, one for Axia, and then they're also backhauling their own network on it as well.
Oh, so they use part of the bandwidth themselves.
They use part of the bandwidth on it, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. So on the sites that you're sending audio via, well, with the codecs, with the mm-hmm. the Zip ones, is that public internet connection?
Fixed wireless, yeah.
Oh, it's wireless.
One of them is wireless. Okay. One of them is fiber to the building. But we have one where it's just a little 5 gigahertz dish from town up to the top of the ski resort.
Yeah,
and it's still rock solid.
Wow, that's cool. And do you have any backup or only one path at each of these sites?
Just right now on the remote sites, just one path. Uh-huh. Boise, there's a 900 megahertz backup and then a Zip 1 backup for the second station on a separate ISP.
Ah, okay.
And even that's wireless.
Wow.
Yeah.
Chris Tobin, you know, I think about you in New York City, a major metro area, where it seems like, Chris, everything you do has got to be just guaranteed 7.9s rock solid. And maybe it's just a miss. Maybe it's the wrong impression, but out in the wilderness, like Jordan is, like I am with my stations in Mississippi and in Samoa, you know, we kind of do what works and cross our fingers, and it lately the stuff tends to work okay.
It does a great job.
So Chris, contrast that with what you would have to build.
I will say that the price point's higher in New York City, so the cost of failure does hurt, but as far as the robustness, yes. In New York City, I've put up several dozen 5.8 links across this Manhattan skyline, and I will say it's been a challenge. However, in places like what Jordan's talking of, and last summer, I built out a 5.8 wireless internet distribution network in the part of New York State where the population is about 300 people. So taking those three things, Jordan's location, upstate New York, and then New York City, the technology of the 5.8 radios is very, very robust on its own. Put it in an environment with very little, if you say, interference influences, and you'll have yourself, by default, a very close to 5.9s, 6.9s, whatever you want to call it, of reliability. Place that same technology in an environment, say, like New York City, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, then you got to do your homework and really make sure you provide an environment that will work best for it. But do not be fooled. If you're in a place where there's nobody around, the technology does work very well. But don't think that you could make it work there, say in Jordan's three different locations in Boise, and all of a sudden say, oh, I can take that same thing and bring it to New York City. No, not going to happen. But if you think it out, plan it out, you should be able to make it work. It's not impossible.
Chris, I'm guessing that for something reliable, you wouldn't consider an unlicensed link.
Sure I would. I've done it.
You would?
Remember, licensed links offer you two things. One, hopefully people have coordinated so you don't get interference. And two, you have a little more of a right to argue to get the interferer, person causing the interference, the undesired signal, off your back. However, that's no guarantee. And I can tell you that I know from experience in talking with someone recently here in New York City, some broadcaster fired up a transmitter at one set of frequencies and successfully impaled, if you will, just a figure of speech, another broadcaster's link in the same band, only because nobody paid attention to the fact that, well, one broadcaster was using the new spread spectrum technique on 5.8, and the other broadcaster was using the older legacy single frequency transmit receive approach. Spread spectrum gets designed to minimize interference from other carriers. The older stuff does not, so it collapses. Are they both in the right or wrong? It depends on how you look at it. But that's what you have to keep in mind, the technologies, how you deploy it, the antennas. Remember, many of us, and I know anybody who remembers this name, it's from the company, it's the Aurora 5.8 link. That was the old Harris product. When I say old, I don't mean technology. I'm just saying back in the day when Harris was doing the 5.8s, that product put two T1s across a 5.8 link. I used one of those for almost 10 years across from New York City to New Jersey across the Hudson without an incident. Two T1s for a very large radio station. So I can say the technology works. However, fast forward to today, and the problem you now have is the noise floor, the environment has become very, very dense. That technology, though it works very well, cannot offer the robustness for interference control. That's why you have the newer technologies from Ubiquiti, Redline, Trago, and a few others. That's the difference. It's not because, it's 5.8, it doesn't work. Also, those 5.8 systems used flat panel antennas, which were an active phased array. Well, flat panel antenna back, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, worked just fine in most environments. Fast forward again to today. And now you've got multiple paths all over the place. A flat panel antenna is very broad. Look at the front panel of the antenna. It hears a lot from the sides. You don't want that. That's why if you notice very much in a lot of the newer companies' products, the 5.8s are using parabolic dishes, small dishes. There's a reason for that. Because the laws of physics are being applied. There's a few things going on there. So that's the differences. Understand those.
Hey, Chris.
Realize what they're about.
I got a quick question.
And Jordan can tell you because I'm sure he's experienced it. Yeah. It'll get yourself a nice reliable link.
Chris, I got a quick question about these parabolic antennas. I noticed that some companies, and Ubiquiti among them, they offer an extra accessory to go on the parabolic reflector that adds a couple inches of cylinder to the front of the dish, advertising that this can cut down on side lobes. Have you experienced the benefit of that? Is it real? Is it imagined?
It is not imagined. It is real. I've demonstrated it on top of, what was it, Four Times Square. We had a friend of mine had a client. He was having issues. What's that?
A busy place there.
Yes, very busy place when it comes to RF. So he was having a problem with a client link and called me up and was befuddled. And he goes, I don't know what's going on. We're missing something. Sent me some screenshots of the spectrum from the radios, the radio links. I forget which brand it was, but not Ubiquiti. And I saw what was going on. I said, what kind of an antenna do you have? He tells me the antennas. I look up the specs. I call up the manufacturer. And sure enough, the RF engineer tells me the antenna design. I ask him about the beam width, power, and everything. He's like, oh, yeah, in that environment, you could easily get something off the side, not even realize, and amplify it by 2 or 3 dB. That'll definitely cause hits. So I suggested putting the ring around it. We came up with a makeshift just to test the idea. As soon as we put we took 3 inches of very thin tin, wrapped it around the edge, and sure enough, as soon as we did that, the spectrum cleaned up considerably by almost 6 dB. So, yes, those rings do work, but again, you have to understand what is the philosophy behind it. Why are you doing it? So you just don't put it on there and say, oh, that's it, I'm protected. You got to understand where these problems are coming from. But they do work. I've used them. There's a lot of science to it. It does make sense.
So, hey, we're talking to Jordan Bitz here from Idaho. Jordan has quite a trip to get down here to Nashville.
Yeah. Just a couple plane rides.
Yeah. So what have you seen, if anything, here that's particularly interesting before we let you go?
Inovonics has a new RDS encoder out, and I'm shopping for RDS stuff.
Okay.
Talk to the guys at Anywave. They make TV transmitters.
Oh.
Got some interesting encoders and new transmitters coming out, new liquid cooled. I do some TV on the side.
Okay.
So that's of interest as well. And just kind of checking it out. I've never been to an NRB before, and I'm not going to make it to NAB this year. Pledge drive, same week. So figured I'd come see the sites. And I've never been to Nashville.
Well, good news is most of the people making pledges to your station are not going to NAB either.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Jordan, thank you so much
for your time.
Yep. Thanks for making the
time.
Appreciate it. All right. We'll turn that down, and we've got another guest walking right in here. Chris, I think this is somebody who you know. It's Gary Liebich from Nautel.
Hey!
Hi, Chris.
And Kirk, how are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Kirk,
how are you?
I really came to see your hair. I'm glad you brought it with you here today.
Well, I had to paste it on this morning before I left the house. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
Yeah. So here we are in the BGS booth talking to a Nautel guy.
Right.
Well, what is and by the way, for our listeners and viewers, once in a while, I should mention, you're watching This Week in Radio Tech or listening to it. Thank you very much. Kirk Harnack here. I'm the usual host. Chris Tobin is here as well. He's ensconced in a studio. I'm guessing you're in Newark, Chris. Is that right? Didn't ask before.
Today, it's Newark, New Jersey. Yes, I'm at the home of the world-famous WBGO Jazz Station.
And you're in a much quieter place. I'm glad that you're in a soundproof room because we're not.
WBGO is an auto transmitter, too.
Is it?
You're on location. I got to make sure. If you're on location, I got to be the fallback guy in case there's a lost connection.
There you go. And we've had an amazing connection. We're using the secret Wi-Fi. it's you know, there must be 300 Wi-Fi access points in this room, and we got the good one. Somehow.
And they got a lot of restrictions on what you can and can't do with your Wi-Fi.
You probably can't do this either. So Gary, man, there's always something cool happening at Nautel.
Yeah.
We were talking about SNMP today, and Nautel got mentioned time and time again for having really good SNMP. And what, you know what Chris Tarr, when he really complimented Nautel about was the MIB file.
Yeah.
He said that you guys remark everything that you need to know what's going on. And a lot of manufacturers don't.
And Chris Tarr was very instrumental in getting our SNMP developed as far as it's gone. They originally put it in our transmitters, I think it was back in the NV series, as an afterthought. They said, well, gee, you know, there's some SNMP products out there, particularly it was in television. And they threw it in as an afterthought. And then started to get some attention by some sharp people like Chris. And as a result of that, we refined it, and you know, there's been more and more work done on it. And now, of course, you know, you got Burke interfacing with it, and some of our customers write their own software, you know,
to interface with it. I think Chris mentioned that Burke, like, has files or scripts or setups already ready to talk to Nautel transmitters.
Right, and they do it for other manufactured products as well, but they call it Plus Connect. Optional as their product. And so you come by, so then you don't have to connect all of the individual wires like you do on a traditional remote IO.
Yeah.
You basically, it's an RJ45 connector, and then it all, instead of using RAUI, you use the user interface that Burke provides,
right,
but all the same data is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. That is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, every once in a while I come across some PR mm-hmm. about this enormous AM transmitter that you guys built for Hungary, I believe.
Yeah. And the big news at this show is Transworld Radio.
Oh,
Transworld Radio and Bonaire, they just bought on a 450 kilowatt transmitter.
Holy
shit. Not as big as the 2 megawatt in Hungary, which by the way is on 540. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Hungary.
Yeah.
That 2 megawatt got turned on a few months ago. And so we build these transmitters in 100 kilowatt blocks. And then the next stage up is 400 kilowatt, which is basically four of those 100 kilowatt blocks.
Yeah.
So five of those times five into a huge combiner that combines all of those five to send it all out.
You answered my question. I was wondering if to make 450 kilowatts of AM, if you were taking 400 kilowatt blocks and cranking up really hard, or if you're doing five and, you know, letting them all loaf a little bit.
Yeah, no. The I don't remember how they did the 450, but the Transworld Radio people have got. I was talking to Tom King, who did a lot of the antenna work for Transworld Radio, and they've got three different patterns. They cover different parts of the world. They don't use patterns the way we use them in the U.S. to protect other stations. They use patterns to cover populations or countries or parts of the world, kind of the way shortwave does.
Sure.
So they've got three different antenna patterns at different powers that they use at three different times of the day.
So they probably are hitting populations when they're awake,
right,
when they're listening, and when the propagation is good.
Now, it's listenable in the U.S. when they're beaming Cuba, which he told me they do, I think, in the evening.
Okay.
Okay. So they're on 800. So in the evening, I believe, for about 3 or 4 hours, they're on a pattern that you could receive in the U.S.
Now, these transmitters, these big AM transmitters nowadays, I take it that they can run analog AM, traditional.
Right.
They can probably run that variable carrier wave, carrier level type of AM. What do you call that?
MDCL. MDCL, right.
Okay,
thank you. Right.
And then
different flavors of MDCL.
I'm guessing they could also transmit DRM with the
They could be equipped to do DRM optionally. The one in Hungary is.
I'm not
sure about the one in Transworld Radio.
Yeah.
But the one in Hungary can do DRM.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But right now they're not doing DRM there, right? They're doing traditional AM?
No, they're doing AM, yeah.
Okay.
But they have DRM capability.
So at some point, if DRM takes off, like if the benefits that people are seeing in India catch fire.
Yeah, what you need to understand, though, the DRM, unlike HD in this country, there's no hybrid mode. You're either DRM or you're analog.
Right.
You know, you can turn it on in one mode or another, but you can't run a hybrid mode
in
DRM.
So if you have an analog radio and you try to listen to a DRM station,
right,
it doesn't sound that pretty, does it?
No.
Can't really tap your foot to the beat. we're about to get a Nautel transmitter for my new little station over in Hawaii.
It's about time. It's really about time.
In fact, I said I was going to call Jeff Welton and ask him, but maybe I could just ask you. If we had plans later to add an on-channel booster because of terrain shielding, am I safe buying a Nautel transmitter?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, we have a lot of the hooks for on-channel boosters are built right into the Nautel transmitters. For example, the ability to delay the audio. We have the ability to delay the audio down to a, I believe, a microsecond resolution.
Yeah.
And Of course, when you do a boosters, there's two things that have to be synchronized. The carriers have to be synchronized to GPS, and the modulation has to be synchronized.
Yeah.
So with the built-in delay in there, and of course, we've got a hook for a GPS reference for the carrier, we have the hooks in those transmitters to be able to do synchronous boosters.
Now, thinking about synchronous boosters, as long as I got you here, I realize it's critical that, as you mentioned, the carriers be synchronized, the modulation index be exactly the same on both of them. What if the audio that you're feeding to both the main and the booster is ever so slightly different? And here's what I mean. Let's say one of them takes a linear audio path and the other one goes through a codec. Even if you can line them up, there is a tiny little difference between those two types of audio.
First of all, you want to have a common audio processor for the two. If you want to process, you want to, at that point in the stream, it's got to be one signal.
Gotcha. Okay.
You don't want to process them separately. That'll really make them different.
Even if
it was the same processor.
Okay. So in that case, you're probably not going to, if it's processed audio, including the limiting and clipping for FM, you're not going to use a codec after that. You're going to have to find a way to deliver linear audio to each of the two sites.
Correct,
So that they really will be basically bit for bit the same audio.
Yeah, you don't want to introduce any latency after that.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Even if you could,
any latency, variability in the latency.
Right. Okay, so linear connection, bit for bit, basically the same to both sites.
Right.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, we're going to need some help figuring that out when the time comes to cover the north edge of the island. Right. Cool. Well, so anything else cool going on we need to know about?
Well, you know, I can't tell you about NAB yet.
It's all NAB, right?
Yeah, but people just have to come and wait and see. We're really looking forward to the NUG this year because we seem to be growing every year. We had the first year that I was with Nautel, which was...
By the way, he said NUG. That's Nautel Users Nautel Group.
The first year I was with Nautel, which I think is 2007.
Yeah.
We have a picture of the NUG, and there are like 150 people there.
Right,
And like we have the picture of the one from last year where we had like 400 plus.
The room
plus
was packed. I took a camera and just walked past the rows of people sitting down.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, the place is packed out.
Yeah, and they're all there to see Jeff Wilton.
Well, I took pictures there when Hans von Zipfen and Frank Foti were talking.
Yeah.
Chris, is the Nautel Users Group something that you've been able to go to?
I go every year, and I look forward to Jeff when he shows and talks about those things that go boom.
Tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks.
That's right.
What part of the world are you covering, Gary?
I cover the eastern third of the U.S., basically Maine to Florida, and then west to Ohio where I live.
So
I don't cover Tennessee.
Jeff Wilton flies over you on the way to his territory.
Actually, this week is an unusual situation because he's doing an event in my territory. He's doing an NS workshop in Miami, and I'm doing this in his territory. We agreed to swap, so fair game.
We'll have to talk more to Chuck Kelly about it, but we're excited to hear the news that maybe Nautel is going to Mars. Have you heard about that?
I haven't even heard that one.
Well, tell you what, then I won't make anything up.
Okay.
We'll let Chuck talk about that.
All right.
All right. Gary, thank you so much,
okay,
man.
Okay, great, Kirk.
Appreciate talking to you. Oh, Chris, you got any questions for Gary?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Greg, good to see you, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Good to see you and talk with you too, Gary. All the best.
Okay.
We'll see you in Vegas.
All right.
All right. Take care. All right, let's see if I get the right one here. There we go. All right, got the right one. And here, Gary, I'll take that. Let's see who we're gonna grab next year. Oh, I don't think he's available. Well, Chris, I'm gonna have my wrangler, my talent wrangler, see if we can grab somebody. So, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. So, what's the big stuff at the show? I mean,
I walked in and came straight to this booth, and I haven't gone in anywhere else. So. In fact, we're going to bring Buck back for a minute to talk about Broadcasters General Store and what they have here. We also have, can you be on? Come on in. Okay. Jake, let me turn your headset up. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So here's Jake with Tyline.
Hello.
Jake, how you doing?
Tyline.
I'm doing good, Kirk.
Yeah.
Wait, is that Chris over there?
That's Chris Tobin.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Put Chris's picture. There he is.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Hey, you got any screech? Or we're going to have to wait until September?
No, Andrew told me he would bring me some, though, next time in September, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I'm not part of the Screech Club, apparently.
It's an interesting club, that's for sure.
I thought Screech was something that they distilled a few miles down the road here in the hollers of Tennessee. No?
If you're a newfie, you know.
Oh, if you're a newfie.
Yeah, I'm not a newfie, but I feel like one after having a glass of Screech, that's for sure.
Oh, my goodness. So, Jacob, are you out of Indianapolis or somewhere else?
I am actually out of Indianapolis. Yeah. So I work right in the Indianapolis office with Tyline. I handle all of our sales for North and South America now.
So Tyline has a pretty interesting new little portable codec.
Yes, yes, we do. The Tyline VIA. It's a great portable codec, three channels, works on five different network interfaces natively.
Can you grab it? Or is that, you probably have to unplug it from its power cord.
It is wireless. Fully battery powered.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you got three XLR channels on it, five native network interfaces. So two Ethernet, built-in Wi-Fi, dual USBs for air cards. We have a built-in module port for expansion, for future expansion, too. It is touchscreen, too. First Tyline product to have a touchscreen on it. It is also a color display, as you see. We still give you navigation keys because here in the States, we have that problem of the snow. Same with up north. So a touchscreen is definitely...
not with gloves. It doesn't
not
work.
With gloves, no.
Cool.
So we'll definitely give you all that interface you need. Like I said, three XLRs. We even give you a digital input. We even give you a really nice little nifty USB input for laptops or any audio class compliant devices there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So this is called the VIA.
Yes, the VIA, yes.
Was this introduced in the past year or so?
It launched about a year and a half ago, but we announced it two NABs ago.
Good deal. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So what else is Tyline? I know this has been a big effort for you to get this out. So what else is Tyline doing nowadays? I see a tablet running over there.
Yeah, so you might be familiar with our reported application.
Yes. Yeah.
We've had that for many, many years, and it's always one of our big sellers. It's just easy to use, but we've reamped it recently. Now we include SIP. So now we can connect to any codec manufacturer like the Telezip One,
sure.
or some of the other guys out there.
You could even connect to a phone system that does like G722.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah, as long
as it still supports the SIP client.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
yeah. Then exactly. We're able to connect to it, no problem.
So your tablet, your reported application, mm-hmm. is also a SIP client, right?
It is now. Yes.
Yes, and so you can register it with a SIP PBX.
Potentially, yes.
Okay. So that's what people typically do with a Telos VX phone system is they will have an asterisk in front of that. So they'll be bringing either POTS or T1 or PRI or VoIP into an asterisk. Then they'll configure the asterisk to talk to the Telos VX system. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have pieces like the reported or cell phone apps that register to that asterisk as extensions.
Yeah.
And then they just dial an extension and bam, they're on the air.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the idea with reported. And the nice thing is we do all the management stuff for it. So our management server will store all those settings. So there is zero talent configuration anymore. So you just simply launch the app, log in, press the big green connect button, and you're live.
You know, and you said zero talent configuration. And that's a good thing because at my stations, we have pretty much zero talent. Mm-hmm. So. But it does make it easier for an engineer that needs to deploy or redeploy or, oh, I lost my phone. Oh, I cracked my phone. I don't have to spend an hour configuring something. I got the file stored somewhere and I can squirt it into your report it app.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And we'll actually manage all those settings on our cloud system.
Oh, even better. Okay.
So the biggest one I always hear is, oh, I'm doing a broadcast with my iPad or iPhone and the battery dies.
Yeah.
They turn around, they find and see another iPhone, they grab that real quick, re-download the app, log in, and they're back up and running.
So just logging in sets it up.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris, got any last comments for Jake here?
No. Just so the audience understands, my Screech comment was it's a drink, yes, adult beverage up in Newfoundland in Canada. And Jake and I have the pleasure of enjoying a great company, great friends up the CCBE up in Toronto.
So that's where you got together and joined the Screech Club.
Yes, the CCBE. Yes, yeah.
This last gathering we had some good times with what was it again? Oh, Crown Royal maple flavored whiskey, which insulted a few of our friends from Belfast. Right. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. It was good stuff. It was a good time, Chris, and I hope to see you out there again.
I've already got it on the calendar.
Oh, I'm sorry, all set. All right. Jake, how do you pronounce your last name? Daniluk?
Daniluk, exactly.
Jacob Daniluk from Tyline. Thanks so much for coming over here and being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Chris, talk to you later.
And we've got one more time for one more guest, Chris. Come on in, Tony.
Okay. Half a guest.
I understand you're not feeling
well. Hey, I'm feeling better, but there's not much voice left.
Well, here, let me make sure you're turned up. Make sure this one's turned down.
I sound like Kathleen Turner, which I find disturbingly arousing.
Oh, no. Yeah, you know what? Tell you what I need from you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a 2-minute break, and we're going to come back for the end of the show, and I need a tip of the day.
Tip of the day.
You are Mr. Awesome at tip of the day.
Didn't
you do an SNMP webinar?
Yeah. We've done webinars. We've done hands-on stuff. Yeah, so we could do a tip of the day.
It's thanks to you that I learned about this stuff.
Well, you actually managed to work a duck.
I think I turned on your duck.
You did.
Yeah. Which sounds dirty, but it's not. Chris? Hit me out, brother. Hey, actually, it's time for us to talk about our other sponsor, and that is Telos and the Telos VX phone system. We mentioned it talking with Jake a few minutes ago. And Chris, I know you've got a little bit of experience with voice over IP technology. And so it's time for me to tell you about this system you're seeing on the screen right now if you're watching the podcast. And that is the Telos VX. Now, we have two very distinct systems about the Telos VX. We have the original VX and the VX Prime. Now, here's why we have the VX Prime. The VX Prime has basically the same capabilities as the Telos VX, except it's in a limited package. In other words, you can't expand it and expand it and expand it. It only does a certain amount of stuff. It only does a certain amount of hybrids or lines. And that lets us charge a bit less money for it. So if you have a couple of studios and you want to get new phone hybrids into those studios, the Telos VX Prime is the great way to go to get that. Now, if you let me
grab that.
Whoops. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you already have an Axia studio, and there are something like 8,000 Axia studios in the world, if you have an Axia studio and you want to add Telos telephony to it and switch over to voice over IP, there is no better way to do that than with the Telos VX Prime. It's very affordable, and it's even better if you already have Axia studios. Why? Because you don't need to buy any X nodes to do any input and output. You already have all your input and output. You've got audio consoles. You've probably already got nodes for audio I/O. And so you can easily just plug in a Telos VX Prime or a full Telos VX system into your Axia network, then plug the WAN port into your VoIP provider or into a local Asterisk PBX or a PBX that's hosted in the cloud somewhere. And then now you've got your phone lines coming in, and then you've got your connection to all your audio consoles. Add a few of our VSETs, either the VSET 6 or the VSET 12. And then if you want to control or do call screening, you can use the call screener that comes free with the Telos VX. That's the X-Screen Lite software from Broadcast Bionics. So either one of these options, any one of these options, will get you high-quality voice over IP phone calls into your studios. And I've got to tell you, the price is amazing because Voice over IP can, doesn't always, but can, if you play your cards right, cost as much as just 10% of what POTS lines cost. I've done this myself at my own stations. We've replaced POTS with voice over IP, and we are literally saving 90%, actually a little over 90%. Our phone bill has gone to almost nothing. I mean, it's in the hundreds of dollars per year. Now, would your savings be the same as that? Maybe, maybe not. If you're on a big facility, you need lots of lines, you want managed VoIP services, well, it's going to cost you a bit more. But still, you're going to have enormous savings over traditional POTS, even traditional T1, and probably savings over traditional PRI lines by moving to VoIP. Lots of ways to do this, and it can be a little confusing when you jump in. Hey, do I hook on to my existing business PBX, or do I use a hosted PBX, or do I build my own, or buy an Asterisk PBX? What are all the options? Well, our guys at Telos can tell you all about that. Joe Talbot and Joe Mock will be glad to chat with you about the best way to configure a VoIP Voice over IP phone system for your facility. And by the way, this is great for television as well. So if you're running a television station and you need intercom connectivity, you need VIP lines, you need lines just to have listeners call in. If you have a listener viewer type show where people call in, no problem. The Telos VX is great for television, as has been shown now in several big television operations around the world. And, of course, it's great for radio stations. The folks here at Broadcasters General Store have hooked up literally hundreds of radio stations with broadcast VoIP, that is the Telos VX and the Telos VX Prime. So check it out on the website. Go to telosalliance.com and check out the VX or the VX Prime. There are some videos about it there, and there's a video about how to get return on investment from the Telos VX by moving, because this is going to force you to move to probably something cheaper, certainly cheaper than POTS, and probably to voice over IP. Watch that video. You got a general manager you need to persuade to go to voice over IP to get you new telephone hybrids and talk show systems. Let your manager watch this video on voice over IP and return on investment. All right. Thanks a lot to the Telos Alliance for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. All right, Tony, come on back in here, buddy.
All righty.
There we go. So we were, it was like SNMP day today.
Yeah. And all kinds of SNMP, because I guess Chris Tarr did a presentation.
Yeah.
For your SBE chapter here about SNMP. He's very good at it. So I'm sure he gave some good, you know, educational information.
And for me, I have like three concerns over SNMP.
Uh-huh.
One is just learning about what it is in the first place.
Sure.
That is a bit of a hurdle, but your webinar.
We have, webinars, white papers, incredible. All sorts of information online.
If you can turn on Tony's duck, you're going to be fine.
That's right.
You don't even have to turn it off. Just learn how to turn it on. And then the second thing is dashboard. I don't really understand how to make a dashboard.
Okay.
But I understand you and some other manufacturers offer this capability.
Yep, that's right.
And then the third thing is interfacing legacy gear with SNMP. And
correct.
I believe that's what you have.
That's
here.
One of the solutions here. And, and we're seeing this. We're seeing facility control kind of move in this more sort of a distributed direction where there's not so much capability or intelligence necessarily in the hardware at the site, but it's just there to convert GPIO and other readings and things, physical information, into SNMP pullable data that you can then integrate into a larger facility management system.
So like you see on a remote control, you've got...
Yeah, this is a full-on remote control.
It's metering inputs.
Metering inputs. It's got status inputs.
Yeah.
It's got relay contact closures.
Relays.
Dedicated probe for a PT100 temperature probe.
Oh, okay.
You can control things via the serial. This can control and pull information via SNMP from other equipment, but it also exposes all of its information, including the physical I.O., via SNMP to an upstream polling software. And, of course, we're not the only broadcast manufacturer that speaks SNMP. This little BDI RF line section meter.
I heard about this.
Yeah,
I hadn't seen
one.
So
you hook this into your line, you plug in a network cable, and you've
Wait a minute.
Forward reflected power.
An inline watt meter with a network connection.
A network connection.
Steve Church was right. Someday every broadcast device will have an Ethernet connection.
And that ability to share the data upstream is important, because then you can look at a network management software. Yeah,
I'll hold that.
Broadcast manager.
Okay.
Do the Vanna White thing here.
So
this software can monitor anything that speaks SNMP, and for stuff that doesn't speak SNMP, like RF lines or physical I/O or things like that.
Yep.
We've got a customer actually wired one of these inside an old BE transmitter that had no network interface
at all. He had a network connection to a BE transmitter.
Exactly. what we're seeing, these sort of edge devices can convert what you need to convert so that the SNMP NMS, the network management system, can keep track of everything in the plant in one place.
I have a Western Electric transmitter this would be perfect for.
There you go. I'm sure there's plenty of room inside there, too.
I have a Gates BC250GY AM transmitter this would be perfect for. That is awesome.
Yeah, SNMP is everywhere. So that's my tip of the day, is that if you haven't thought about SNMP in your plant yet, what it could do for you, do some thinking, do some playing around, look at some white papers, get some tools, and start to see what you could do. But keep in mind that being able to share information upstream as well as pull stuff from downstream via SNMP can be critical to really coalescing all of your network management and your facilities management into one place.
You know, one of the things I like about devices like this is that, for example, input power. Anywhere between 12 and 24 volts.
Yeah, whatever you got.
So, hey, if the wall wart blows up, probably you have one laying around that'll work.
It's somewhere around there that'll work, you bet.
You have to cut the cannon plug off and wire it into this, but other than that.
Not a problem.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and these things list for less than $1,500. So it's a powerful, powerful little tool on its own. Even more so when you can kind of combine it with other things on the network that speak SNMP.
So if, again, for me, one of the biggest hurdles has been learning about SNMP, just getting my brain wrapped around it. You really helped with that. If engineers want, say, you know, I got to learn about this. I mean, look, it's a freight train. It's coming. It's here. Yep. Jump
like
on the freight train.
IP,
just like audio over IP. Exactly. You know, SNMP is a thing. Where can they go to learn about this?
Well, you can start at worldcastsystems.com. You can, you know, give me a call or send me an email. I'm always happy to help out, you know, because I knew nothing about SNMP until our software kind of drew me into it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's been quite a journey, and I've learned hands-on from the ground up. And would love to share that experience and knowledge with people.
Chris, any final words for Tony?
Get the hell off.
No, no, good work. Good work. We'll see you in Vegas at a good right. time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. We'll be there at NAB in Vegas for sure.
Chris, I didn't ask you about a tip, but you always leave us with something good. Let's see. Label your microphones and headsets.
And burn this windscreen. Working,
is it too muffled?
No. I'm just saying it's this windscreen is diseased.
Oh,
now.
Because, oh, God, because yes, you're sick. Yeah, that's
don't,
right.
Don't put this in front of anybody else.
I'll Lysol it good. I'm sorry, Chris. What'd you say?
That's okay. The tip I'm going to offer up is something that's very simple, and that is recently I worked with a friend to get some stuff done at a transmitter site, and he set up a VPN and a whole router arrangement so I could access it from home and get some things done for him, and I discovered that he had not taken the care to download or make images of various configuration files on the equipment. So I would suggest if you have a transmitter site that's operating with modern equipment, which I'm assuming it is, and say you have a set of Omnias and you don't bother, but you should download the config files and save them in a place that you can use in case, as I found out, in case you have to redo the box, you know, rebuild it because of a problem. I helped my friend fix that. Thank goodness I downloaded those files. Also, if you have a router at the site and you do have VPN type stuff going on, you should make a copy of that config file in case of a problem so you can replace and get back up and running. And if your transmitter supports certain configurations in the Exciter, you probably should not consider just relying on your SNMP connection to save you. You should probably download that information onto a drive somewhere so that when you do get your SNMP back up and running and things on the network going, you can upload the files and get the transmitter up and running. I say this only because I got called into a site about 2 months ago, person in panic, and I was like, do you have copies of anything? No. Okay, so we're going to start from scratch. Factory default resets. Here we go. So just save yourself the trouble. I now have a thumb drive with information for that one site, and just the other night I got a call, and I was able to, at 2 o'clock in the morning, of course, but from home, upload the proper file back into the Omnia, and they were on the air again.
Beautiful.
Back up, back up, back up.
That's fun. Oh, so good. You know what, Chris? I have been saving lots of information, station information that I need, like mount points for my web streams, passwords for that kind of stuff. I've been saving that on a Google Drive file. And I made an account just for the engineering staff at my radio station. So even if I need to get it on a phone, I can just open my Google Drive app, sign into it, and information is right there. And just... it's better to me than keeping it on individual laptops.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go. But before I want to introduce Travis Thibault.
Yes.
Travis Thibault. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you?
I think I know you're a relative of yours.
Yeah. He's around broadcasting.
Older brother.
Story. Yeah. He's my older brother.
So Travis and Buck Waters are here with Broadcaster General Store. They were kind enough to let us do the show from their booth, and I really appreciate it. And also get me into the show. Let's see, who am I today? I'm Hugh Price.
Hugh Price, that's right.
I want to thank our sponsors, Lavo. Appreciate them sponsoring the show, and also the Telos Alliance with the Telos VX and VX Prime. Thanks to them for sponsoring the show. And once again, thanks to Broadcaster General Store for letting us in the booth here.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Kirk.
I'm really glad to.
I'm glad you chose us to put it on at today. You've created quite the crowd here for a little while.
Yeah, we did.
I wish we would have been able to have the NRB robot walk by, but we couldn't swing him. He's too busy.
He's booked.
Yeah, he's booked out for the rest of the day.
All right. We got to go. Tell your friends about This Week in Radio Tech. Thank you so much for watching. We appreciate also our producer, Suncast. Thank you, Suncast, for putting up with us and producing the show. And Andrew Zarian, the founder of the GFQ Network. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio. Bye-bye.